Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. In 30 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in the National Cash Contest.
I got a question from Spec real quick. Who got the win today?
Someone named Blaine Byer.
Blaine Boyer got the win today for the Royals?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
B-O-Y-E-R.
Where's he at right now? Do we know what? We haven't played bullpen ERA for
him. I was fully prepared.
I didn't know he was still on the roster.
I was fully prepared. If Blaine Boyer had blown the game for the Royals today to go on a rant, I was very prepared today. I'm not talking like a Fesco rant because I don't know if that's even possible. Like, I don't know if I can get that level of mad about a team that we can all admit is not very good. But if Blaine Boyer had come in today and lost the game for the Royals, he should not have been allowed on the plane. He should have been asked to figure out his own way home. Bus, Greyhound, Amtrak, Uber pool. I don't know how people are getting around these days, but Blaine Boyer should have been asked to find his own transportation home. The Royals can't tell me they're trying to win and Blaine Boyer keeps going out there and blowing games. So thankfully, crisis was avoided.
His ERA is down to 11.09.
It probably went up today, knowing how bad he's been over the last couple of weeks. But thankfully, we don't got to talk about that. I'm trying to be in a good mood today. I'm trying to woo-sigh a little bit. Let's get to the hits.
These are the biggest stories of the day in Kansas City.
I have been waiting for that moment all my life.
We talk about them every day at 5 o'clock.
The hits, number one.
Nothing says like being in a good mood, like talking about the NFL and the national anthem. But the NFL owners have approved a new policy requiring players on the field and personnel on the field to stand for the national anthem. Roger Goodell taking to the podium today after announcing that Nashville is going to get the 2019 NFL draft. More on that coming up in the hits a little bit later on. But Roger Goodell talking about the national anthem and that word from Aretha Franklin's song, Respect.
Clearly, our objective as a league and to all 32 clubs, which was unanimous, is that we want people to be respectful at the national anthem. We want people to stand. That's all personnel, and make sure that they treat this moment in a respectful fashion. That's something that we think we owe. We've been very sensitive in making sure that we give players choices, but we do believe that that moment is an important moment and one that we are going to focus on.
Quick reminder that Roger Goodell makes about $41 million a year.
Say it one more time.
$41 million a
year. $41 million! That's a lot.
How many times do you have to win the cash contest to be able to get $41
million? I know I ain't good enough to say that. That is a lot of money for one Roger Goodell. I want to get into this more after the hits. And we can have a longer detailed discussion as the hits don't really allow that. I want to talk to people that are happy with the ruling of the NFL. Because, as we all know, this was a very divisive, very polarizing. People were on opposite sides of the argument. If you've been listening to The Drive long enough, you know where I stand on this. I have been very pro Colin Kaepernick. I have been very pro kneeling during the national anthem the entire time. I am unhappy with the ruling today of the NFL. I'll explain why after the hits, but I don't like it. I want to hear from people that are happy today with the ruling of the NFL and if the NFL did what you wanted them to do. We heard from people say all the time, these guys need to start showing respect for the flag. I'm not going to continue to watch. They answered your question today, and I think in a pretty big and mighty way. I want to hear from you.
I think the owners, they care about money. They care about viewers. They care about fans. They care about all that stuff. Just like any other business, you want as many people to consume your product as possible. And I think the protests during the national anthem turned off a lot of consumers, and they had to do something about it. You know, and the owners did, and they have that right to do that. I certainly understand the protest, but I also understand a side of, like, this is, if they feel like this is hurting their business from a financial standpoint, from a consumer standpoint, they had to make a rule. Speck and I went to lunch today at Blind Box Barbecue, and we were driving by a place where I used to play baseball on Flum and Shawnee Mission Parkway that's no longer there. There were fields. And I was telling Speck about this. It was an old field. Fence was there, and on top of the fence in the outfield, they had barbed wire. That would never happen today because somebody probably got hurt and ripped their skin on that, so that doesn't happen anymore. The NFL didn't have to have a policy on the national anthem before, and now it does. And they put it in place, and they did it for future reasons because they don't want it to become an issue. It's as simple as that. I got no problem with protesting, but if the NFL feels like as a group of owners that owns their product, if protesting during the national anthem hurts their business, then it's certainly their right to make those rules and set that policy.
Number two.
Royals, Cardinals, rubber match, day game, and Drew Butera comes through in the 10th.
And Butera swings and a line drive into right center field for a base hit. Soler scores, Gordon goes to third, Gordon rounds third, Escobar goes to third, and Drew Butera drives in two. And the Royals lead 4-2 in the 10th inning. Still nobody out.
Ryan Lefever right here on 610 Sports Radio. Royals add another run in the top of the 10th, courtesy of a John Jay single, scoring Drew Butera. Royals win 5-2, 16-33. But in the short term, at least they took two out of three from those guys on the other side of the state, the Arizona Cardinals. St. Louis Cardinals. I'm not good at geography.
I just got a text a few minutes ago from a friend of mine that's a diehard St. Louis Cardinals fan. And I just told him simply, I don't have a whole lot to hang my hat on when it comes to the Royals, but I could at least have this for right now, that the Royals beat a team that I think a lot of their fans don't like in a city that they don't like. They won the series against the St. Louis Cardinals. The Royals, that are off to an awful start, terrible start, one of the worst teams in baseball right now in terms of record, at least we have this. They took two out of three, and they beat the Cardinals in St. Louis. I'm happy, at least for now.
I mean, I know I should have more of an opinion than Ann, but Royals ain't going nowhere. They just won two games in a season that's not going anywhere.
It's the Cardinals, though, man. It's the Cards.
And that concludes the hits for today. I want to read the NFL's ruling really quickly, and I promise we will take your phone calls. We're not a show that normally takes phone calls, but I want to hear from people that are happy with the NFL's decision because we have been told that the protests are a reason why the ratings are declining in the NFL. I think it's a bunch of other reasons. People continue to tell me it's because of the national anthem. I would also contend that the national anthem was no longer a problem once they got rid of Colin Kaepernick. At the start of 2017, aside from Eric Reed of the San Francisco 49ers, you tell me who else was protesting. Two, three, four other players in the NFL? That's not an issue. That's not an issue at all. At the end of the season, in week 17, 14 players in the NFL kneeled for the national anthem. This was not some widespread issue of half the league was kneeling during the national anthem. Everything ends. Everything dies at some point. All the NFL had to do, in my opinion, was sit back and let things blow itself over, and fewer players were going to do it, and fewer media people were going to do it. But in my opinion, they were terrified of one thing. They were terrified of Donald Trump tweeting about it. Because we've seen the kind of shockwaves and ripples it sends when Donald Trump picks up his phone. That's the only reason this thing still had life. It's not because of Colin Kaepernick anymore. It's not because of Eric Reed anymore. This thing got a jump start, and it came back into the forefront of American conversation because of Donald Trump. And I think we have now seen that NFL owners are afraid of one thing. It ain't the catch rule. It's not you not going to the game anymore because you're going to watch it on television. They are terrified of Donald Trump. This is just not my opinion. This is the words from the owner. There was a meeting between the players and the owners when they were having the negotiations for the amount of money they were going to get when the NFL gave them some money. And this is a quote from Robert Kraft. We all know who he is, right? He is the owner of the New England Patriots, one of the most prominent owners. We agree? Four most prominent owners in the NFL. This is the words of him. So I don't want anybody saying, oh, this is what Carrington is saying. No, these are the words of Donald Kraft. Quote, the problem we have is a president who will use this as fodder to do his mission that I don't feel is the best interest of America. It's divisive and horrible. Again, those are the words of Robert Kraft, president, owner of the New England Patriots. It goes on in the stories to say the owners were intent on finding a way to avoid Donald Trump's continued criticisms. The president's persistent jabs on Twitter had turned many fans against the league. Jeffrey Lurie, who is the owner of the Eagles, called Donald Trump's presidency disastrous and cautioned players against getting drawn into the president's tactics. The worst thing for the NFL in this whole thing was it continued to be used politically and at the forefront, and it couldn't be every single day Donald Trump talking about it. We all agree. There was a 10-day stretch where this was the number one agenda on his Twitter account. Every day he was tweeting and talking about it. Today, more so than getting the players to stand up, that's not what this is about, in my opinion. This was about Donald Trump not talking about it. This was about the tweet we saw from Vice President Mike Pence today that said winning and that the NFL is going to force players to stand. That's what this was about, in my opinion. I disagree with it, but I just don't know how you can argue with at least that being the sentiment based on the words from the owners.
I think it's part of it, for sure, C-Dot. I 100% agree with you. They don't want to have to deal with this again. But it's not about the 14 players that stood in Week 17. It's about what could happen over the next few years. They got to have a policy in place for it. I made this comparison earlier. At some point, I'm sure there weren't guardrails on roads. And then somebody ran off the road, so they got to put guardrails up so nobody else dies. Like, you have to change and you have to flow. They're trying to protect what could happen in the future. And at least they have a policy in place now if and when the president does start to tweet again about the NFL and about players.
So I want to listen to people. I want to get the other side of it. Because some people always say, oh, you don't hear both sides. I am for the protest. I am for the kneeling of the national anthem. What I have done it? No. But I certainly stand with them on the choice to do it. So I'm not happy today about this. I think the NFL, I think, catered to a certain crowd and gave in to public pressure on an issue in which they didn't have to give into. But I want to hear from people that are on the other side. Jayhawk Tom in Leawood, you agree with the NFL's decision. Go ahead.
I do, and first of all, I don't think you stand with them on their right. I think you kneel with them, but ha-ha. And this has all been kind of hashed around already, but, you know, there are lots of men and women that have died for people's rights, First Amendment rights. And, you know, the reason we play the national anthem, you know, you could probably make the argument we shouldn't even be doing that because it is a political thing in some people's eyes, but I'm kind of tired of all this political correctness. I think you might be right. Maybe the NFL is afraid of Trump tweeting again. I definitely think essentially they are caving into public pressure, but I think it was the right thing to do because I think it's a slap in the face to our servicemen and women that we allow some people to kneel during the national anthem. I mean, I think I fully believe in their right to protest. I just think there's a better way to do it.
J.L. Town, let me ask you this really quickly.
Sure.
Can you tell me another form of protest that would have been more effective than this? Because Colin Kaepernick, I do think it is fair to bring up, he first started his protest in August of 2016. Do you think there is a more effective way to protest than the one we currently have seen from Colin Kaepernick and others?
Well, I haven't given that a lot of thought, but I mean, obviously it was very effective. It's gotten a lot of press. And it's kind of sad that he's suffered, I think, maybe some extra fallout because of it. But no, I definitely think, I mean, why wouldn't you just get in front of a microphone? You're the starting quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers and talk about it and, you know, start a foundation or a march or whatever, you know, and try to get coverage that way. I mean, I understand what you're saying. The NFL's got huge viewership, tons of people are watching on TV, and so, yeah, it garnered a lot of attention right away, but I think it happened in a bad way. That's why we're still talking about it. I mean, it ruffled a lot of people's feathers, and I think rightfully so.
And that's Jayhawk Tom. Thanks, Jayhawk Tom. We appreciate the phone call today. The top text, I want to get to this. It's something you said earlier, and I'll say it again in the 5 o'clock hour. Text line 69306. I simply want the sports conversations to be about sports. I'm so tired of this being a story. I was listening to a podcast a couple days ago, and Howard Bryant made a really good point. He's writing a story on activism in the black athlete, how it's changed over time, how Jackie Robinson and Muhammad Ali and Jim Brown and how it all changed with 9/11 to the modern athlete. It was a really, really good interview. I plan on getting the book when it comes out. He made a really good point that I think fits perfectly in Kansas City. And I'm not being critical of anybody, how they live, anybody, how they grow up. If you want to avoid the issues of the black community in Kansas City, it's not really that hard to do. We all know where black people don't live in our city. It's not like we have to be taboo about it. We all know. We all know the areas where they are, and we all know the areas and where they're not. It's not that hard to do. I think what made this a different issue and why people say I'm tired of it being a story, it was one of the few times that an issue that is prominently talked about in the black community, and we can agree, the protests were about the killing of unarmed black people by the police, whether you agree with it or not, it's a conversation that, quite frankly, happens in black communities all the time. Not some of the time. It happens all the time. Maybe that doesn't happen in your communities. I'm not saying rightly or wrongly, but it doesn't happen in your communities. It was one of the first times that everybody was talking about it, and you could not avoid it. People say, man, what about a march? If that march happens on 31st and Prospect, you live on 115th and Metcalf, how does that affect your life? Yeah. Those marches happen all the time. Those marches happen all the time. We can go to one this weekend if you're that serious about it. These talks would happen. LeBron, Dwayne Wade, Carmelo Anthony, and Chris Paul had a very passionate speech at the ESPYs. Who talks about it? LeBron James, we agree, the most popular athlete in North American sports right now. No disrespect to anybody that plays soccer. Said a lot of the same stuff about equality and unity and all this kind of stuff. Nobody talks about it. But this, it made you think about it in a forum which made you feel uncomfortable and the most popular thing in our country. There's nothing America loves more, I would say, other than itself in patriotism and all that other stuff than football. There's nothing more. Not Walking Dead, not Dancing with the Stars, not whatever show you watch on television. We talk about the declining ratings. No, the most popular show on television is the NFL. In the NFL, they made white people, let's be honest here, talk about, and to some people, one of the largest issues in the black community, and that made people feel very uncomfortable because it's not conversations you have to have all the time. And my argument has always been, people say, hey, we watch sports for protection, or not protection, but hey, we just want
to escape from the stress of their lives.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
We allow the stress of our everyday lives into sports all the time. Every day, we allow the stresses of it. Whenever Eric Berry had cancer, it's not like the Chiefs didn't talk about it and discuss it. They talk about it all the time. Cancer is a very dangerous thing, one of the leading killers of Americans. We openly talk about it. Breast cancer awareness during October, it's a cool thing when they do it. It happens all the time. So we allow real-world issues to permeate itself in sports all the time. But a lot of those are things that we all can get behind. All of us hate cancer. Who is in favor of cancer? Nobody's like, hey, you know what? Cancer's all right. Everybody's in favor. When other Americans are hurt, like during a hurricane, who's not for supporting those people? Everybody is for supporting those people. This is an issue that not everybody is affected by and not everybody understands, but you are forced to at least have the conversation in your workplace that, let's be honest, is void of conversations about issues that affect the black community. You had to talk about it because everybody was talking about it. That's what made this such a big deal, in my opinion.
The problem with that, though, CDOT, is that when the flag gets involved, then other people think it's about something else. And that's the problem. You're right. Mission accomplished with more people talking about it because it was during the national anthem. The protests were during the national anthem. But the problem is that the protests weren't about the military. They weren't about, you know, hating patriotism. But that's what a lot of people take it as. So there's give and take with that. There's good and bad with the protest. Yeah, we're forced to talk about it. A guy like me that grew up in Johnson County, you know, a white guy, you know, that grew up, you know, and lives in Lenexa right now. Yeah, we're forced to talk about it. I don't experience that, you know, on a day-to-day basis. The problem is that there are a lot of people, when they see athletes protesting and kneeling during a national anthem, they take it a certain way and the message gets lost. So I think we have to understand why some of those people take it that way and they miss the message because of the way the protest began.
And I will just always argue that the people that miss the message on this are the people that aren't trying to hear the message anyway.
I won't disagree with that. I agree with you 100%
because
on that.
I would say the message of police brutality, which – if Colin Kaepernick was happening, it's not like that was an issue that just started in 2016 in our country.
I agree.
We have countless examples over American history of similar issues. So to me, it has always been a diversion to make the anthem protest something that you had to really confront to something else they've done it the entire time, in my opinion. I do want to take more people's phone calls on this. We said that we would. Anthony and Grandview, go ahead, man.
Yeah, I agree with the decision wholeheartedly. I'm a black man. I was in the service. But I agree with Fanny. And it does not seem like you're listening to Fanny at all. I think all his points are absolutely correct. I think when people kneel during the anthem, I think a veteran, even though we know what Callum was doing, and I applaud that, but I think he went into it the wrong way. Y'all had a guy on y'all radio show, you played a quote for me from the VFW, and he gave an excellent idea on what he thought it should be. And again, we all have employers that has rules. And if you don't like the rules, then it is what it is. 16 has rules, I'm sure. You can't use certain, you know, profanity across the radio, but you ain't sitting around and hollering, oh, I got free speech. I should be able to say what I want to say. No, you have rules as well. And I just believe, I think this was the right decision. I'm not a Trump supporter or whatever the case may be, but I think this was the right thing to do. I think, hey, if you don't want to stand for the national anthem, put your thing here. Go to the locker room and protest that way or do whatever you want to do. I think it was, I don't think it was blatant disrespect, but I think the military people, most of us, took it as disrespect. When you got Marshawn Lynch sitting on coolers eating a banana, what's that about, man? What's that about?
I appreciate the phone call, Anthony. That was a good phone call. I appreciate the phone call on that. No one has ever told me in 2 years of talking about this something that would have been more effective than what actually happened. I mean, you're telling me, people say this. Yeah. If Colin Kaepernick had done a march, let's say that Colin Kaepernick didn't do this, and Colin Kaepernick was like, you know what? I'm going to get every NFL player to do a march. We think we're still talking about that march 2 years later? I'm going to guess the answer is no if that's what happened.
I think mission accomplished. We're talking about it now, right? So now I think you switch it. My idea has always been this. I mean, the stadium is still full in between the first and the second quarter. You put a PSA up on the Jumbotron in every single stadium with different players saying what they've dealt with and gone through and what their families have dealt with throughout the course of their lives. Players can kneel. The message gets out. Everybody's there. And then you take the flag out of it. You know, that has been my solution to this thing all along. These are NFL players that are talking on a Jumbotron in a message telling people at the stadium what exactly is going on, and those players can kneel during that break in between the first and second quarter, and it takes the flag out of it, and the message gets received.
Rick from Spring Hill, go ahead, man.
Hey, I agree with everything you guys are saying, and I guess the point I wanted to make is I disagree with Fanning wholeheartedly in the fact that it's absolutely about the flag. I mean, there's two parts. The mission or what they're trying to accomplish is not the flag. They want equality. But the way they get it is, you know what? I'm going to ruffle feathers. Because just like Carrington is saying, I can't stand it when people say, oh, well, there's a better way to protest. Protest is about turning society on its head. And that's exactly what they're doing. I want to see white privilege turned on its head so that equality happens. And this is the way to do it. So disrespect the flag. You know what? If veterans have to feel offended for black people to get right equal rights, so be it.
That's Rick in Spring Hill.
It's a good call. And I'm not personally saying it's not about the flag. What I'm saying is what players have said. So I'm trying to relay the message that players have said. They said it's not about the flag for us. We're not disrespecting the military. We're taking our kneel now. We're kneeling right now. We're taking our stance now to get your attention. But it's not about the military. And it's not about the flag. Bringing the flag into it certainly brings a lot of attention to it. But I'm just relaying the message of what players were saying.
Text line 69306. CDOT, people are talking about it, but are they discussing the issues or are they just bitching about it? I certainly think there is a large group of people that have been talking about these issues and that are doing things about it all the time. I just think we've reached the point that we are... I think that was the conversation in the beginning. And I think eventually it became the further and further we got away from it, it has become about literally everything else. The same way I think with Colin Kaepernick at the beginning, the issue was the flag, and then it became the T-shirt, then it became the socks, then it became he didn't vote. Like, I just feel like people tried to find one reason to discredit everything Colin Kaepernick had done the one time. And a lot of you aren't big comedy fans, but some of you are, obviously. Dave Chappelle, in one of his Netflix special, talked about, like, sometimes the world needs, like, imperfect heroes. Colin Kaepernick is not the perfect hero for this message. Man, nobody is.
Yeah.
But he was the hero for the message, so to speak. And he was the voice and the conduit for it. And again, I'll ask anybody. We can take phone calls on this until the show is over. Anybody tell me a more effective way that we'd be talking about 2 years later than what actually happened, and I'm with you. I'm on your side because I don't think that exists. Think about how we move on from quickly for things. Man, Laura Linney was the biggest thing in America 3 days ago. Nobody cares about that today. Tell me a story we've been talking about for the last two years other than this one. This story has reached such a level, and there's nothing else that would have happened that would have had this level of impact, in my opinion. During the commercial break, for those of you that are terribly mad at us, we'll give you Royals tickets. Play the drop.
Easy peasy, huh?
One more time.
Easy peasy, huh?
One more time, because I'm friendly.
Easy peasy, huh?
Coming up on the other side, I promise, we'll talk sports next on The Drive. Text on 69306. What the hell? What does it mean if I actually get a line, not a busy signal? Someone answered, but no one is there. I'm trying to win tickets. I'm gonna guess that means you didn't win. I'm just gonna randomly guess that's what it means. I don't answer the phone. Spectre answered the phone. He could certainly be a lot better at answering
Shane
the phone.
Shane in Harrisonville was our winner today.
Can you at least tell?
Is he being a mole again? Is he trying to screw us?
I don't know if he's being the mole. Can you at least just Can we start doing this when people call in? Hey, you're caller one. Thank you so much for your listening to the show, but you're not the winner. I have to take the next call. Thank you. Can we just do that with every person? You know, you can do that five times till we get to number six. Make people feel special like they're a part of the show. We're trying to get people to listen. We're trying to get one more person to listen at 2 o'clock. You're not helping us right now on that goal.
I took the sixth caller. The sixth caller today was Shane in Harrisonville.
Okay. Do you want to just now do the first caller so the first caller can be treated with love and respect?
I would love to know how this is my fault.
You aren't treating caller three with love.
One angry texter says I haven't won Royals tickets.
I'm sure that other people
on the text line. He wasn't caller six?
I'm sure that other people on the text line have a lot of problems with how you answer the phone. I just want you to make caller three feel special. I know they didn't win, but make them feel special.
What about caller four and five, though?
They deserve to feel special,
too.
I mean, caller six is going to feel the best.
Just get a cry closet, then. Let's move in with our parents.
Yeah, when you're 30. By the way, the parents won that thing.
Oh, we're going to talk about that later today. Yeah, we got an update on the the guy that was 30 years old that wouldn't move out of his house. We got an update on that story. God. We have to bring an argument that we had. Seemingly, all we talked about today when we weren't doing the show was the anthem and this next topic that we're going to talk to. We'll get to it after your chance to win $1,000. It's 1,000 on the 30s. Text the word LOCK, L-O-C-K, LOCK. As in, Drew Locke is going to win the Heisman Trophy this year. That's Locke. You can be the $1,000 cash winner in the National Cash Contest. 610 Sports Radio is the only sports radio station in Kansas City giving you a chance to win up to $12,000 each weekday. All you got to do is listen in on the 30s from 7A to 7P. Your next chance to win is coming up in 1 hour. That's your final chance of the day. But why not win right now? And I'm not going to lie to you. I'm secretly hoping a Missouri fan wins this one. Complete rules and listings at 610sports.com. The keyword, Locke. Text the word Locke. L-O-C-K. One more time for those of you that are hard of hearing in the back.
Huh?
Lock. L-O-C-K, as in Drew Locke is going to win the Heisman Trophy this season. He's a lock to win the Heisman. That's what I would put it. Today.
Hot Cocoa doesn't seem to think that that Drew Locke's a lock.
Today, we were having a conversation about Tony Gonzalez. Shockingly, one of you two found some way to hate on Tony Gonzalez going into the Chiefs Hall
of Fame. Don't drag me into this
thing. Let's flip a coin. Who do you think was hating on Tony Gonzalez going into the Chiefs Hall of Fame?
Such garbage.
It was Fanning. Fanning had his same senior day take. No, he doesn't want to see people happy about their accomplishments.
No, that's not true.
Go ahead and tell the
people. No, my feeling on this, and I don't care who it is, all right? I like to see the games. I'm not all about the ceremonies, you know, years after the fact. Listen, Tony Gonzalez is a great tight end. Love watching him play football. I just, for whatever reason, have never been able to get into this. Even going back to Royal Stadium as a kid, seeing, you know, Willie Wilson get his Silver Slugger Award before, you know, on opening night, you know, out at Royal Stadium. I don't get into the ceremonial part of it. I just want to watch the game. I'm there for the game. I'm not there for a ceremony.
Okay, all right.
So you call me an old guy, call me cranky, but
I
don't go.
I know you hate on someone's
happy
moment.
The ceremonial thing is not a big deal for me. I just don't get into it.
So we got into a conversation regarding Tony Gonzalez. If you missed it, he's going in the Chiefs Hall of Fame, the Ring of Honor, the Chargers game, which I believe is like December 13th or something. But that's not the moral of the story. So we were having a conversation about who is the best player Carl Peterson drafted. It seemed pretty obvious to me that the answer is either Derek Thomas or Tony Gonzalez. And somehow we got in this 25-minute argument about is Larry Johnson one of the eight best players that Carl Peterson has drafted. First, let's have the first conversation, and then we'll get to the second one. We agree that's where the conversation starts.
That's true.
Either Derek Thomas, I guess you can throw in Will Shields. I feel bad saying I guess for a Hall of Famer. But I think if we were all picking a team and we had the three options of Tony Gonzalez, Derek Thomas, and Will Shields, I think we're taking the other two guys ahead of Will Shields.
I love Will Shields, but I'm not probably taking a guard.
I got no disrespect towards Will Shields, friend of the show, great guy. I'm taking Derek Thomas or Tony Gonzalez. Spec.
He wanted like Dale Carter.
Derek Thomas or Tony Gonzalez.
Okay, who are you taking? Who is the best player drafted by
Derek Carl Thomas Peterson? Is the greatest player to play in Chiefs franchise history.
Fanning?
The greatest in franchise history? We're talking Carl Peterson.
Carl Peterson era.
Okay.
But he's also the greatest player to ever play for this franchise in general. But yes, in the Carl Peterson era, Derek Thomas is his best draft pick.
Yeah, Carl Peterson.
I would probably have to lean towards DT as well, because Tony Gonzalez can't affect every single play Derek Thomas could when he was on defense. And the other part, I know we're going to talk about running backs here too, but, you know, Priest and Larry Johnson and those guys probably don't have the careers they had in Kansas City without you know, the Will Shields, the Tim Grunharts, the Dave Zotts, the, you know, guys like that. So I would go with DT as well.
Okay. My argument for Tony Gonzalez would be this. There is no one that considers Derek Thomas to be the best player at his position. No one considers him the best at his position. He's certainly a great defensive player. You can't be you cannot be a great defensive player and be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Great player. There's no one that thinks he's the best player at his position. People think that about Tony Gonzalez. So by definition, wouldn't that make you the best player that someone has drafted? If they think of all the players that have played tight end in the NFL, I wouldn't argue it, but there are certainly people that listen to the show that would argue it. Tony Gonzalez is arguably the greatest tight end of all time. That has to be the logic for you doing. And I would say, if we're talking about a player that has revolutionized his position, he paved the way for guys like Antonio Gates. He paved the way for guys like Jimmy Graham. He paved the way for the 6'5", jump out of the gym, former basketball player that
Demetrius
can translate.
Harris?
Yeah, nah, not him.
Oh.
That can translate to the that can translate to the football field and be a dominant tight end. Tony Gonzalez was more of a trendsetter than what Derek Thomas is. Derek Thomas, great player. God rest his soul. If you ask me who the best player that Carl Peterson drafted was, Tony Gonzalez or Derek Thomas, I'm going Tony G, man.
Here's the thing, though. What would Derek Thomas have become if he didn't pass away so early, though?
Very good
like,
point.
Like, that's the other part of it. I'm looking at the all-time sacks leaders in the NFL. Jared Allen has more sacks than Derek Thomas. Are we saying Jared Allen is better than DT?
No, I don't think that.
We're not saying that.
League changed a lot, too, when Jared Allen was
fair playing. Enough. Lawrence Taylor, 13th on the all-time sacks list. You know, I would agree that we probably think – do we agree that he's maybe the best guy? The best
I think he's the best defensive
rusher.
Player of all time.
Yeah, and he's 13th all-time when it comes to sacks. So – I think Derek Thomas, and I think a lot of it has to do with, like, what, how would he have finished out his career? Where would he be when all was said and done? Tony Gonzalez had a chance to do that. DT did not.
That's a really good point. And I always make the point in music, and I think people understand it. I call it the Aaliyah effect. We never got to see how Aaliyah's career was going to end.
Yeah.
Maybe she goes on to be Beyonce, and she goes on to be the greatest entertainer of all time. Maybe the run is over, and then Aaliyah just becomes, hey, she had a really nice run, but she just becomes Ashanti.
Mm-hmm.
I think the same thing about Derek Thomas. We don't know how the Derek Thomas story ends. Maybe he continues playing, he tears his ACL. Next thing we know, 3 years from now, he's not a very productive player. We do know with Tony Gonzalez because we got to see its conclusion. Tony Gonzalez was a good to great NFL player for 15 straight years. Played every single week. Didn't miss times. And I would say he played on, at times, offenses that solely relied on him. So Derek Thomas was always in very favorable defenses, with very favorable coaching, and with guys that could also help him rush the passer. Man, we all saw a lot of years at the Chiefs. They only had one person throwing the ball to, and it was Tony Gonzalez. And defenses knew, hey, we got to stop 88 today. We got to figure out a way to do it where Derek Thomas, he just played with more options. Again, there's no wrong answer to this. If you take Derek Thomas, I take Tony Gonzalez. We still got two really good players. I'm just arguing Tony G over Derek Thomas.
And that's fair. He could do that. I mean, he's maybe the greatest tight end of all time. Now, he may not be, you know, when everything's all said and done here in, what, 10 years? Maybe, but more than likely he will be. Doesn't look like Gronk's going to keep playing that much longer. I get it. And things are different now than when Tony G played, correct? Like, you can barely touch a guy. You can't even look at a dude now. I can't imagine what Tony Gonzalez would be like in this era of the NFL when you could barely you look at a guy wrong, you touch him wrong, and all of a sudden the flag comes out. So, I mean, it's a valid point. I don't think there's a wrong answer either way.
Text line 69306, plus Derek Thomas didn't go chase a trophy like Tony Gonzalez. How do we know he wouldn't have?
Yeah.
Like, how do we know that Derek Thomas wouldn't have been DeMarcus Ware? DeMarcus Ware, NFL Hall of Famer.
I don't fault the guy for doing that.
Not at all. I don't have a problem. Especially now with what we know, the physical demands of football.
Man, come on.
I'm certainly not going to say, hey, stay on this team you don't think has a chance to win a Super Bowl because it makes me feel good. Man, if you think you got a chance to go get a ring and that's why you're playing this when you've made the money, man, you go chase the ring. I don't fault Tony Gonzalez for this at all. I know we're up against it, Speck. Are you arguing that Larry Johnson, the top five player that Carl Peterson
drafted? Why do you keep changing everything?
I just want to hear the argument. You and I argued about this for 30 minutes today.
He's one of the 8 best Chiefs ever drafted by Carl Peterson. We went over it. Carl Peterson's drafts, outside of 9 that we came up with, right? And some of those guys you didn't even want on the list. Larry Johnson is definitely one of the 8 best players ever drafted by Carl Peterson. The guy had one of the most incredible back-to-back NFL seasons in history. History. More yards rushed than Priest
Larry
Holmes
Johnson
back-to-back.
Larry Johnson was hot for 2 seasons.
It's more of an indictment on Carl Peterson than it is Larry Johnson. And also, Larry Johnson is third all-time in franchise rushing. So your two seasons, yeah, a lot of them were from those two seasons, but he's also just behind Jamal, Carrington, and he's just behind Priest.
Carrington, can you tell Speck about the receiving yards that Priest Holmes racked up that Larry Johnson did not?
I mean, he was certainly better than him.
Priest wasn't drafted.
Yeah, no, okay. No,
I know, but I just, fair enough.
We're going to go through, and I'm going to see. We'll write the names of guys down that I think Carl Peterson drafted that were better than Larry Johnson on the football field. And you tell me at the end of it. So we'll go from when he started to when he ended. We can do this in 3 minutes. Derek Thomas. We agree? Better player? Better.
Correct.
All right, we'll keep going. Are you going to give me Dale Carter or no?
Yes.
So Dale Carter better than Larry Johnson?
2.
Are you giving me Tim Grunhard?
No.
Okay, all right, I'm just asking. All right, let's continue on. Are you going to give me Will Shields?
Yes.
Are you going to give me Danen Hughes?
No.
Can I throw Danen Hughes in there? Can I throw my guy in there?
Pick a player, yes.
Can I throw my guy, Danen Hughes, in there? All right, are you going to give me Tony Gonzalez?
Yes.
Okay, all right, I'm just making sure.
There's four. There were four.
Okay, all right. I mean, it gets really bad here.
It gets really bad here.
It gets really bad. Are you going to give me Dante Hall? Dante Hall had the same two hot seasons that Larry Johnson did.
I would say that Larry Johnson affected more games because he touched the ball more than Dante Hall. So I would take Larry Johnson over Dante Hall.
Okay. Are you going to give me Jared Allen as a better player?
For sure.
Okay. Are you going to give
now
me...
Now we're at 5.
Are you going to give me Derek Johnson as a better player?
For sure.
Are you giving
that's
me,
6.
Are you giving me Dustin Colquitt? I just want to ask. I'm asking all the players.
No.
You giving me Tom Bahali?
Yes.
Okay.
That's 7.
All right. Are you going to give me Dwayne Bowe?
No, I'm not.
Dwayne Bowe's not better than Larry Johnson?
I would not take Dwayne Bowe over Larry Johnson.
I'm with you on that spec.
Okay. Are you going to give me Brandon Albert? are you going to give me Brandon Albert?
No, I'm not.
I can't kill Brandon.
Are you giving me Brandon Flowers?
No, I'm not.
Are you giving me Jamal Charles?
Yes.
He wasn't. Was
Yes, drafted in 08 because Pioli started in 09.
So that's 8, Spec.
Yes,
that's
8. So he's not top 8.
Okay. He's 9th.
I'm wrong. I won. Just say I won and we can move on from this and talk about something else. Say
over Carrington, my dead body, I'm saying
say
you're right.
Say, Carrington, your sports knowledge is superior to mine. You won
about to hit
this
break
argument.
Button.
Just say that's all I need you to say, and we can move on. I promise. Say, Carrington, your sports knowledge is superior to mine.
Don't do it, Speck.
The first time I tried to challenge you on the show,
I
lost.
Don't do it. Don't do it, Speck. Don't do it.
You don't want to say it?
Don't do it, man. You have any pride? You got any stones back there?
I'm not saying anything.
Good.
All right.
Carrington has tried to change this argument. I wish I was recording. What we were talking about in the back is Carrington was wrong.
I was trying to block it
36
out. 36
times in 8 minutes.
Okay, you're talking about stuff the listener didn't get to hear.
I know.
They
I should have recorded it.
It doesn't matter what I did back there. You're talking about the driving range. I beat you on the course here. Oh, wow. This is what counts. We're on the field.
For
man.
The record, you said that
you
Larry Johnson was not in the top 10
guy?
In Chiefs rushing. You said Larry Johnson was in top 10 Chiefs rusher of all time. He's number 3.
He did say that. And he's number 3. Yeah, that's a fact.
Who has a better career when they're done, Kareem Hunt or Larry Johnson?
That's a good one.
That's a really good question.
I have to save that for tomorrow.
No. Who has? We can get into it tomorrow. Ain't nobody listening.
I'll take Kareem Hunt.
Okay. All right. So you're telling
me. All of a sudden, I guess Kareem Hunt was drafted by the ghost of Carl Peterson.
Yeah, the ghost of Carl Peterson drafted
Brett Veach could probably be Carl Peterson's son at this point.
Coming up on the other side, yesterday, if you missed this story, there was a 30-year-old guy who didn't want to move out of his house. He was on CNN yesterday. Oh, boy. We get into it next on The Drive. We got a lot to get into in a short period of time. You got a chance. We got one more chance to win $1,000 in the National Cash Contest coming up at 6:30. We were just having an argument, which I clearly won. At some point, Spectre will admit the truth.
Don't do it, Spec.
But we looked up, because while we were in the course of having this conversation, I want to read to you guys really quickly the Chiefs draft picks from 2001 to 2002.
It's not good.
I want to read them to you and tell me if you could do better. This is every single one. Ryan Sims, Eddie Freeman, Omar Easy, Scott Fujita, Maurice Rodriguez, Eric Downing, Snoop Minnis, Monty Beisel, George Lane, Bill Babber, Derek Blaylock, Alex Solfsted, Shenard Hartz, Terdell Sands. Think about how much NFL GMs make us think that they spend scouting and evaluating players. You had 2 drafts. That's what you did. I think all 3 of us could have done this.
We could have. I could totally fail at an NFL draft. I have no problem doing that.
You know what we should do next year as an observation? Whenever the Chiefs are on the clock, We should just write down who we would have drafted right then and there and then see if we do a better job drafting the Chiefs. That'd be like a great observation. Like, hey, in the seventh round, I have no clue. I'm just going to randomly pick somebody. I bet we could do equally as well as the Chiefs.
I wanted Jimmy Smith instead of John Baldwin.
I mean?
I'll never forget that. Yeah, it's like, take Jimmy Smith, not John Baldwin. Chiefs like John Baldwin. How'd that work out?
Give me a pick that you wanted that turned out to be a bust, though. My ultimate pick that turned out to be a bust, I thought Heath Shuler was going to be a great quarterback. I thought he was a camp.
I thought Matt Leinart. Matt Leinart went to the perfect situation. Yeah. Like, I was 100%. For the Chiefs, you guys remember Aaron Curry from Wake Forest, that linebacker?
Yeah.
He was the most can't-miss prospect I've ever seen in my entire life. I couldn't believe, how could you not draft Aaron Curry? I thought he was going to be Khalil Mack when he was coming out of college. I was terribly wrong.
I thought Sylvester Morris was going to be a really, really good
Slimo.
Receiver. I thought he was going to be terrific in Kansas City. I told my buddies, I'm like, hey, man, this guy's going to hit big. I mean, this guy is going to be the man. What do you have, like four catches?
Text line 69306. My buddy bought a Ryan Sims jersey. I won't ever let him live it down. Ryan Sims was certainly the benefactor of, I played with Julius Peppers in college. You know, I'm just going to get one-on-one. I'm just going to get sacks, and I'm going to get drafted really, really high. No, he was certainly somebody running with the fine folks would call Lay Jig. If you missed the story yesterday, this was a news report that was, I'm telling you, right up the alley of one Brad Fanning.
30-year-old Michael Rotundo is being evicted from his mom and dad's house. But he won't leave, so he's being taken to court by mom and dad. He claims legally he wasn't given enough notice to leave, but he's facing an uphill battle in the court of public opinion.
Oh, he needs to get out.
Give his mother and father space, actually, because it's that time. He's 30. And then you're not paying rent or you're not, like, being independent. You got to be independent.
Court filings allege Rotundo doesn't contribute to the family's expenses and doesn't help out with chores around the house.
But that doesn't make no sense if you're going to stay in your mother and them house 30 years old and don't help do nothing. Grow up.
His parents have given him 5 written notices over the past few months telling him he needs to leave. They even claim they've offered to help him get started on his own. Rotundo is calling his parents' effort retaliatory.
I feel bad for both of them. Because he's not learning anything by staying at home, and he's just wasting their time and money.
Neighbors say they're sad to see such a great family go through this, but admit every parent has a limit.
But I would expect them to be gone by 30.
The Rotundos are scheduled to hash it out again in court later this month, about 7 weeks before their son's 31st birthday.
I mean, we all need a little help from time to time.
Yeah, but not like that.
I mean, I'm almost 30 years old, and I'm still on my parents' cell phone bill. Are
you really?
I'm never going to bring it up to them. I've just been on the family plan since I was a kid. And
so you don't have a cell phone bill at all?
That's the only bill I pay everything else. No, I do not have a cell phone bill. I'm never going to argue it. I mean, if they're not going to bring it up, I certainly ain't bringing it up. Hey, Mom, hey, you know what? Let me take that burden off your back.
She's listening to you right now, maybe?
No, I mean, she knows I don't pay my cell phone bill. Believe me, we talk about it. So I understand. You know what? Everybody needs help from time to time. Yeah. These parents are doing a great thing. They're helping helping him get up on his feet. He's 30 years old. He needs more time. Yeah. Maybe 35, 40, he'll be ready to move out, but he needs a little more time.
Sure he does. Yeah. Well, there's a response to this thing. The court ruled in favor of, shockingly, the parents. And Michael Rotundo was on CNN. Is it CNN today, Spec? Here's what he had to say.
And I understand that you are probably more upset than even you're letting on, but don't you want to reconcile with them?
No. No, I don't.
Come on, man. You're 30 years old. Your parents had to kick you out, and now you're mad? You don't even want to reconcile with your parents? Grow the hell up, man. Put on your big boy pants. We all got to go through stuff. Life sucks sometimes. Just get out. Get a gig. Start working. They offered to help you. Stop being such a freaking soft wussy.
Can we play that one more time? That is so good.
And I understand that you are probably more upset than even your left.
She's like trying so hard. Like, hey, you know what? I understand.
She's trying to get him an out.
I don't understand. No. I'm confused. I didn't even talk to the guy. I'm confused. She's like, you know what? I understand you're maybe more upset, but I mean, don't you kind of want to reconcile? I mean, that they are your parents.
Getting on, but don't you want to reconcile with them?
No.
God.
No, I don't.
You know what? Instead of reconciling, you know what you do? You get a job and you maybe give them a check for some of the groceries you ate.
Oh, my goodness.
Buy them some laundry
so
detergent.
Funny.
Some gas money.
That's so funny.
God.
The text line's mad that I don't pay my cell phone bill. I mean, it's working out great for me. I don't feel bad about it. I mean, I feel...
I don't pay my cell phone bill.
Yeah, I feel great about it, actually.
Now, part of my dad's company's plan.
Yeah,
what's that like, man? Is that fun to not have to pay bills and your parents are picking up the tab?
It's nice.
It's great. I'm not complaining at all. I mean, it's working out rather great for me. Great. I'm certainly not going to complain.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, something tells me if your parents wanted to pick up the bills, you wouldn't be like, no, I'm an adult. No, I mean, pay whatever you want.
I actually would. That would drive me crazy because then I would feel like they'd have control over, like, you know, what I did. I'm like, I'm out.
Nah, I mean, it's never been that kind of issue. It just, if I go over, then I give them the extra money. Like, I've had to go over, like, before we got unlimited data and I used to go over, they would be like, hey, it's $42 extra. I'd be like, you know what? Here, Mom, take 50. You know, I'm being generous.
Give her
a
tip.
You're my mom. You
give
know,
her a tip.
Go get you a Chipotle burrito. You know, go get you a Chipotle burrito on me. You know what? Hey, I'll give you 55. Yeah. Get chips and guac. You
That's
know,
because nice,
I'm just, you know, I'm somebody, that cares about you. Good luck.
Thanks,
Quentin,
man.
Tomorrow.
Thank you. Going to the state baseball tournament, 5A down in Wichita State. Rooting on my stepson's team.
Fanning is definitely going to try to play in the game. It's like, hey, you know what? Hey, you know what?
I still got a little left in the tank.
Back again tomorrow. It's The Drive.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.